You're listening to the Whole Hog Football Podcast, sponsored by Landers Toyota of Northwest Arkansas. Every Monday through Friday during the Razorbacks football training camp, bringing you the latest news, position analysis, and more. Here's your hosts, Matt Jones and Scotty Bordelon.
Arkansas returns to the field Saturday with a game against Mississippi State at Davis-Wade Stadium in Starkville. 11 a.m. kickoff. The game will be on SEC Network. Arkansas trying to snap a two-game losing streak after losses to Texas A&M and Alabama. And Mississippi State trying to snap a two-game losing streak to Arkansas. The Razorbacks have won the last 2 years against ranked Mississippi State teams. We'll talk about all of that today. Matt Jones with Todd Murphy and Scotty Bordelon of Whole Hog Sports. Tom, we'll start with you because we didn't have you on here earlier this week. Obviously, the story all week has been KJ Jefferson and his health. What do you feel? I mean, what's your gut feeling that KJ Jefferson's going to do this week? And what do you think it'll be like for Arkansas if he isn't able to play?
Well, my gut feeling, I don't know KJ well enough personally. I know he's a gamer. I know he's a tough kid. And I get the feeling that maybe if he's cleared, he'll want to play. But we don't know. And I don't think Sam Pittman was kidding or not telling the truth last night on his radio show when he said that, to be honest, we do not know. So that means there's still protocols to get through and clear. And even if the team doctors and the trainers clear him, I think it should still be in his hands. And if he doesn't feel comfortable enough playing, then he shouldn't. What it will look like, I mean, Cade Fortin moved the team in two series last week. He moved them once. And honestly, I think if Jaden Hazelwood had been able to see the full picture on that fourth down play and cut inside, I think he'd have moved the chains again and they might have been able to score a touchdown. But anyway, it's going to be a difficult task for any of the quarterbacks who are in the game because the way Mississippi State crowds the line and sends people, and Sam Pittman calls them run blitzes. And so they're going to have to really be on the page with tight end Trey Knox, with the receivers, with backs who might be relief valves to throw little dump passes and screens and slants to try to beat the pressure Mississippi State brings. And they've got to find ways to get cracks in the run blitzes to get their backs into the second level. And if they can do that, then you can beat a safety and have some huge plays. So it's still a tough task for Arkansas because I think they'll have trouble catching up or keeping up with the scoring pace that Mississippi State might be likely to set.
Sam Pittman said earlier this week that there's a chance that they'll play, both quarterbacks in the event that Jefferson can't play. Scotty, we're writing our keys for the game that will be in the Hogs Illustrated Game Day section this weekend. And, one of the things that we wrote was basically, I think Fortin can do a lot of the things that Jefferson can do, throwing the ball. Hornsby obviously is a great runner, but I don't think either of them have that dual threat capability that Jefferson has.
No, I don't think so either. And, I like sometimes during game week, like to go back and watch the team's last meeting. So, the game Arkansas won 31-28 in Fayetteville last year. And there was a play that I remember, it may have been a second or third down play, and KJ is just kind of scrambling to his right, makes a couple guys miss, barrels over a guy deep in the red zone and picks up a big first down. And I'm just thinking, man, if Arkansas doesn't have that guy this weekend that can, make something out of like less than nothing, then I think they could be, they could have a long day in Mississippi. KJ's just super valuable. And, even when Arkansas doesn't necessarily have anything working offensively, there's always that threat that he can tuck the ball and run and make things happen outside of just the structure of the offense. I mean, he's pretty good at improvising. Maybe he was a little bit better last year, but this year, we've still seen him be able to do that. I just don't think that, I think Malik Hornsby's got a lot more elusiveness than Cade Fortin does. I don't think anybody's going to disagree with that. I do think that Fortin is probably the safer, more game manager type guy that Arkansas, could turn to if KJ can't play, that would, probably not put the ball in harm's way and, you know, be their best bet to limit turnovers or, you know, momentum type plays in the passing game. And then with his feet too, Sam said earlier in the week that, you know, a lot of people just think that Malik is like the only run threat that they have at quarterback outside of KJ. But, you know, he said that from what he's seen in practices, like Cade's got some, Cade can move a little bit too. And I did notice that last week. I think it may have been on that play that Tom referenced earlier where he hit Hazelwood on fourth down. I think he did make a guy coming off the edge miss. So he's got a little bit of that to him, but it's definitely not near the caliber, you know, as a KJ Jefferson out there. And it's just, if Arkansas doesn't have him, they're going to be, you know, fighting an uphill battle.
Yeah, interesting stat. Well, I had in my story today, career rushing, Cade Fortin is at 5.9 yards per carry. And it's not a huge sample size. And Malik Hornsby, I think, was 5.1 or 5.2. And then KJ's down in the threes. That includes, obviously, a lot more sacks for KJ and a lot of fourth and one sneaks where you're just not going to get but a yard or two. So I think he can run. But I do think it would be very wise of them to use both guys and just kind of see if there's a hot package where they can steal a score. Something like that. So I feel like both would play if KJ is not.
Doesn't this feel like the kind of game where, you know, it's up to Rocket Sanders to really carry a big load if Jefferson can't go this week? I mean, he's done it in a number of games already this year, but you feel like if they're going to be able to be successful offensively, they're going to have to get a lot out of their running backs. And obviously Sanders is the number one guy.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And you remember when Arkansas went to Ole Miss last year, obviously a big deal was made because of the game KJ had back in his home state, but Rocket had a big game that day too. I think he kind of emerged that day as a guy that, you know, people looked at who could potentially lead a pretty talented group of running backs at that point. And I think he got 17 carries, ran for close to 140 yards. You know, Rocket, he's got 400 yard rushing games this season. The one game that he played away from home, obviously, it was against A&M. I think he had like 68 yards in that game. Last season, he averaged almost 6 yards a carry on the road on fewer touches than he got in home games, but still the production was there. I think he's what he's shown like the first 5 weeks is that he's more than capable of leading a rushing attack in a game. I would think maybe this is the week too that maybe you get Dominic Johnson more involved or Rashad Dubinion. You know, Sam talks a lot about Dubinion and still spoke really highly of him on Monday, even after, you know, he had a catch against Alabama, and then he had a nice first down run, but he ended it with a fumble. But I still think that you glean that he made a couple positive plays. You just got to, you know, be more ball secure. But I think they'll kind of lean on those three guys and then AJ Green too.
The way the UA frames it is, it's on you, offensive line. So they got to get out there and create gaps for those guys. But certainly each of those backs is capable of exploiting whatever space is available, breaking tackles. We've seen a lot of that from Rocket. And Dominic Johnson ran for 100 plus yards. I think it was 107 against Mississippi State last year. So, you know, he's got a background against these guys, and hopefully he's just getting better and better each week. If you recall, it was his 4-yard touchdown run with 21 seconds left, and then his 2-point conversion that gave Arkansas the 3-point lead last year.
And then something else that might be flying under the radar a little bit is with, you know, Mississippi State's pressures. I mean, they're not all pass pressures. Some of them are run blitzes, like Tom mentioned earlier. But I think something that could be flying under the radar in terms of the importance with Rocket is just his pass blocking ability. I think he's clearly Arkansas's top pass blocking guy. I think Dominic Johnson might be number two when he's fully healthy. Remember, he threw a big block in pass protection against Texas last year. I believe it was. It led to a big play. So Rocket, I think, has got a pass blocking grade, according to Pro Football Focus, over 80. So that's, you know, that's always a positive when you're facing a team that wants to apply some heat.
Mississippi State's one of the better teams nationally in run defense. I think a lot of that, and we mentioned this earlier this week, is because they've gotten so far ahead of some teams that they haven't been able to run it. And so, or they haven't, they've abandoned the run in favor of passing the ball, trying to get back into the game. The one team that was able to run against Mississippi State was the team that beat them, LSU, at over 200 rushing yards, 3 rushing touchdowns. In that game earlier this year, Zach Arnett is the defensive coordinator for Mississippi State. And you look back through his track record, his defenses have typically been pretty good against the run. Before he came to Mississippi State, he'd been at San Diego State, where they had one of the nation's best run defenses for a season or two while he was the defensive coordinator there. You know, for all this talk about Mike Leach being an offensive guru, every now and then he finds a pretty good defensive coordinator. You know, he had some at Texas Tech. I think about Rufus McNeil was the defensive coordinator there. He had Alex Grinch at Washington State. And it certainly seems like he's found another pretty good one here in Zach Arnett at Mississippi State. You know, we talk about Arkansas's offense, and it feels like Arkansas's going to have to score a lot of points to be able to keep up with Mississippi State. The secondary play is just not been good and probably isn't going to be good for a while. You know, in addition to having the season-ending injuries to players like Jalen Catalan, Ladarius Bishop, Sam Pittman has said this week that they're pretty banged up in the secondary. They've done some things. They brought Hudson Clark to play safety some in practice. They brought Sam Mbake over from his position at receiver, and he's going to play cornerback now. Doesn't mean he'll play in the game on Saturday, but may not surprise to see him in there either. Do you think they can slow down Mississippi State at all, Tom? I mean, this is a passing offense that's always one of the best nationally. I think they're third best right now and or top three in most categories, and you're going against an Arkansas secondary that's just been really, really leaky all year, and the numbers could be worse. Had Cincinnati hit some passes in week one, and A&M not had that big drop early in the game down in Dallas.
Yeah, that's the real question of this game, right? I mean, the strategies they've used the last 2 years with the drop eight, Sam likes to call it the double cloud. So you're playing zone on the second tier, zone on the back end, has been relatively effective. And it was really effective in against KJ Costello, who'd come off the 632-yard passing day against LSU. And I think they were just a little bit giddy and felt like Arkansas was a down program and they could do the same thing. But the drop eight really, you know, he got really frustrated with that. Greg Brooks took him back for a 69-yard pick six that started the scoring, and they just didn't really settle into a good rhythm in that game. You know, last year Will Rogers had more success. He passed for, I wrote it just a while ago, 400 and something. I think that Mike Leach will have his plan in place, the design for, okay, if they're dropping eight, we're going to do this. And then if they come at us and they're in man, and Sam Pittman spoke about this week, if Will Rogers can read man, then he will know where to go, and he will have a chance to pick you apart if you don't get pressure on him. So it's going to be a real cat and mouse game for Barry Odom and Mike Leach. Unfortunately for Arkansas, they're just down in numbers. And quite honestly, I can see passes over the middle to running backs and receivers doing drag stuff that Arkansas struggles to get the guys on the ground. I mean, that's been the proven so far this year. So they're probably licking their chops at the amount of open space they're planning to get.
You know, one of the things that Arkansas has been so good at this year is getting pressure on the passer, but it almost feels like they're going to have to abandon that a little bit in order to cover some of these, you know, more pass-heavy teams like Mississippi State. And I think it's going to be really intriguing to see what they do with Drew Sanders on Saturday. Are they using him more in, you know, in drop-back situations, or are they going to send him after Will Rogers? I think that's a really interesting key to the game.
Yeah, you're right about that. I wish I'd thought about that before I sat down and wrote about Keys. I think he could definitely be an X factor. At the same time, though, if you're rushing three linemen and you're just sending Drew, you can still, you know, you still have a guy to account for him. You know, at that point, it just kind of comes down to how effective that swim move is, or, you know, just, you know, how forceful that initial point of attack is once he gets to an offensive lineman. But that's an interesting point. I think everything's going to come down to Will Rogers and just how patient he is, right? Like, I don't think Mississippi State has thrown the deep ball very often this year. And I was looking at Pro Football Focus numbers, and Will's His most often thrown pass is 1 to 9 yards downfield over the middle of the field. And the second throw type is not even close to the number of attempts that he's made on those short throws over the middle. So I think that's going to put a big emphasis on Bumper Pool's coverage ability and his ability to open field tackle too. And I was just looking this up too, that in 2020, when Bumper had 20 tackles at Mississippi State, he got targeted in the passing game, or his matchup got targeted 16 times. And he had a couple pass breakups. Last year, he was targeted 8 times, and no other team that Bumper has ever played outside of Mississippi State has targeted him more than 7 times. So I think he's got to really be on his toes. And I think he's got to, you know, mix really good pass coverage with sound tackling. I think they're probably going to need another really, really big performance from him. And if they get that, you know, there's a decent chance that they'll have success defensively. And it wouldn't surprise me in the least if maybe he's got that tackle record, you know, sewn up maybe by the third quarter.
That's a good point, Scotty. And that's a really neat stat on Bumper. He understands they've got to really rally to the ball, be closer to their guy in man coverage, and really try to keep them from establishing any kind of run game. Cause I think Leach will go to that and lean on it if they get a lead in this game and it's relatively effective for them. How they deploy Drew Sanders, good question. We haven't seen a whole lot of him in pass coverage. And we might see more of that this week.
Pool, by the way, is 13 tackles away from tying Tony Bua's school record. He had 20. I think Scotty mentioned that a minute ago when they went to Mississippi State 2 years ago, which was his career high. Tom, you know this as well as anybody. When you go to Starkville, you put in your earplugs because it is loud. I mean, you've got the cowbells ringing. They turn their music up to 11. It is as loud of a venue in the SEC when it comes to, you know, manufactured noise, artificial noise inside the stadium. And that's something that I think Arkansas really has worked on this week, but I don't know that you can really simulate that until you're in there in Davis-Wade Stadium.
No question about it. It's a problem. It's a thorn in my side. And I really wish the SEC at some point would say, okay, Mississippi State, you're not the beaten down little dudes anymore. That is an advantage, and we have to apply our rule, which is no artificial noisemakers in the stadium. And I know it's like, oh, well, they stop ringing them when the center goes up, but it affects your communication prior to that. And I wish they would start finding them and weaning them off the bells, because it's just not right. And they do crank up their music. And their PA, and Auburn is, the last time I was at Auburn, it was ear-splitting volumes. And I wish they would also regulate that a little bit. But I'm bringing my earphones.
Yeah, Starkville's not too far behind Auburn in terms of turning up the noise. And then you add the cowbells in. That's why I say it's the loudest in the country. You know, it almost feels like, or in the conference, but I was going to say, it almost feels like you can offset the cowbells a little bit, I guess, by doing some no huddle and just getting the center up to the ball. You know, if your communication is good enough that you don't have to huddle.
You know, I've been thinking about that, and it may be a ploy that Arkansas tries to use. Ricky Stromberg generally goes up under center pretty quickly after each play. So we'll see how that plays out.
I think Arkansas might be able to be in a, I think they're in a good spot to be able to handle that, because they get a lot of their, signals from the sideline, and it's not like, I wouldn't imagine just a ton of it is verbal communication coming from Kendall to KJ or whoever the quarterback is, or the receivers from the position coach. I just think Arkansas, I think they'll go in with a plan to be able to handle that. And Sam said either Monday or Wednesday that, yeah, they're going to be turning up the volume with some pretty annoying cowbell sounds, especially during the team portions of practice this week. So I think they'll be ready to handle that. And then defensively, like this, Bob joked with Bumper earlier in the week that he hit the lottery because he's going to Starkville for the third time in his career in 5 years. So I think Bumper's kind of well-versed in kind of how to traverse that crowd noise.
Of course, they didn't have a whole lot of crowd noise there in 2020. They capped attendance at about 13,000, so it's not anywhere near what they're going to see tomorrow when they have a full house in Starkville. The revenge factor, I think, is a really big deal here. Mississippi State, they owned Arkansas during the Chad Morris years, even during the Bielema years. They won a lot of games. These are players who had been used to beating Arkansas. And the last 2 years, I think they feel like they had just as good of teams, or certainly just as good of a chance to beat Arkansas. But they let the game slip away. You talked about the pick six in 2020. Last year, Mississippi State scored the touchdown with about 2 minutes left to go ahead. Arkansas comes back down. And then even Mississippi State comes down and has the chance to kick the field goal that would have tied it at the end. And that was one of three missed field goals that they had that afternoon. I feel like the revenge factor here is something to watch this weekend, that Mississippi State feels like they've let a couple get away against Arkansas the last 2 years.
Yeah, I'd agree with that too. And then, you know, we listened to Mike Leach on, I think it was the SEC coaches teleconference on Wednesday, and it sounded like he was still a little bit bitter about the holding call that Mississippi State got hit with. When Arkansas was facing fourth and one, 1 minute left, Arkansas was down five. It looked like Arkansas had gotten stopped on a fourth down play. They were trying to target Treylon Burks near the Mississippi State sideline. Got held. Treylon, to his credit, he sold it probably a little bit more than what the hold actually was. They got the flag. Leach, I think, is still a little bit upset about that. So he definitely wants to put that game last year with the penalty and all the missed field goals. He wants to put that out of his mind.
Yeah, good point, Scotty. We had to go looking for that play because you heard what he said Wednesday, and then like, okay, he was referring to what? And then, I distinctly recalled that play. And then, of course, you found the clip and we watched it today. I do believe that they feel like, oh, Arkansas thinks they've got our offense, the air raid, figured out. You know, they've played the drop eight and, you know, they've held us down. Well, we're going to show them we're at home. We're rolling. They just lost to A&M. They're down. Their quarterback's questionable. We just beat A&M. We're up. You know, let's overwhelm these dudes. And there is that kind of sense. I mean, the odds makers have it at 7.5 points. So I think Sam Pittman, in a way, kind of likes being able to say, look, nobody believes that we're going to win this game. And they went down and beat them in 20 under the similar circumstances. And but I do believe a lot of it is contingent on Arkansas being able to keep up the scoring and somehow or the other get some turnovers or do like an onside kick like they did last week and just like steal a possession or two and stop them on a big third down a few times to have a chance.
Yeah, I wrote about that. 2020, I think there are a lot of similarities to that matchup. And I vividly remember watching the video from Pittman talking to his team in the locker room where he said, all we've got is all we need. And I figured they're going to have a similar message this week going into Starkville. The Whole Hog Football Podcast is sponsored by Kendall King Design, Display, Signage, KendallKing.com. That's KendallKing.com.
The Kendall King Group family of companies plays to win, just like our hogs. We know how demanding retail marketing is today. From digital omnichannel creative services through in-store signing and displays, and finally to social influence, we've got you covered. Our KKG Inc. family of companies, Kindle King, ShopCart Creative, and Soapbox Influence are winning with multiple retailers and brands. We play to win and will be a winning partner for all your retail marketing service needs. Go Hogs!
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Check out the Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
Welcome back to the Whole Hog Football Podcast.
We hope you'll join us on October 12th. That's next Wednesday when Hunter Juracek will speak to the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club in Fayetteville. That'll be at Hilton Garden Inn off of Weddington Drive. For more information, go to nwadealpiggy.com. Prediction time, there are seven SEC matchups this week. There's an eighth if you count the Red River game down in Dallas. That'll be an SEC game soon enough between Texas and OU. And you know that CBS would have loved to have been able to keep the SEC contract for long enough to be able to get that game on its programming. They won't be able to get to. That'll be an SEC game by 2025, maybe a little bit sooner. That remains to be seen. We'll talk first about some games that are not quite as glamorous. There are going to be some blowouts in the SEC most likely this weekend, and we'll start, Tom, with Auburn at Georgia. We know who we think is going to win these games. How close, though, do you think Auburn can keep this one?
I think Kirby Smart's probably a little bit frustrated at his team that they had such a close call at Missouri. They gave up a lot of points the previous week against, I think it was Toledo. So I think they're going to come out wailing. And I don't even know what the line is, probably in the 20s or maybe the high teens. But I think three touchdowns plus is certainly within the realm.
No, I think Auburn's in the path of destruction this week. I think Auburn's going to be Georgia's get right game. They'll flip the switch and, you know, kind of get out of their own way a little bit. And wouldn't be surprised if Brock Bowers catches another couple of touchdowns and they get him involved in the run game, all that stuff. You know, Stetson Bennett has a nice day. I think they'll cruise.
I've got Brock Bauer on my Heisman watch list right now. I've been really impressed with him, what I've seen, and I think it's real interesting what Georgia's doing with him, the ways that they're able to utilize him as a tight end. I think the bigger question for Auburn and Georgia might be, does Brian Harsin have a job come Monday? You know, they've fired the AD. They've eliminated that buffer, and what you've seen going on at Nebraska and Arizona State and Wisconsin and Georgia Tech, and you know, there's five Power Five jobs open right now. It makes you feel like Auburn, you know, certainly is a not a very stable situation, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if Georgia wins the way that we think they're capable of winning. So like that South Carolina game they had a few weeks ago, wouldn't surprise me at all to see Auburn make a change before the end of the weekend. That game will be at 2:30 on CBS. It's the first game of a doubleheader. The second game, not quite, I think, what CBS thought they were going to get when Texas A&M goes to Alabama, Tom.
I think A&M's hurting. Max Johnson has a broken finger. I have not seen whether or not he'll be able to play. I'm not sure what hand it's on. But there's a pride factor with A&M and a pressure factor for Jimbo Fisher. But I think the other factor is Nick Saban felt very disrespected by that diatribe, and that was as harsh a criticism as you'll ever hear a prominent Division I FBS football coach say about another, what Jimbo said about him. And I think the players will take it to heart, and I think Alabama will win handily.
Yeah, I don't think that spat that Jimbo and Nick had, you know, affects any of, you know, the preparation for either team, but I think it could impact the, you know, what happens on the field Saturday. I think Alabama could run it up. And, you know that Nick was watching that, or he saw clips of that Texas A&M Appalachian State game where App State just, you know, ball control, run it right at Texas A&M and had a lot of success. Who can do that better than Alabama can? Just turn it around and hand the ball off. And then Jalen Milroe, if he has to play, you know, he's the size of one of their, you know, freaky looking running backs. I mean, he's kind of an extension of their run game too. And Arkansas fans saw that, you know, fully last week. So I think they'll just be able to run the ball, and they might make, you know, Texas A&M tap out pretty quick.
Yeah, I think the only thing that might keep it close is if Bryce Young can't play and the Alabama offense doesn't move it as well. But like you, I think that Milroe, Jahmyr Gibbs, that group, they're going to be able to move the ball up and down the field against Texas A&M most likely. But even more importantly, they're going to be able to stop Texas A&M. I'll be interested to see if A&M can even score a touchdown against that Alabama defense. Just not a very good offensive club. Ole Miss goes to Vanderbilt. That's a 3:00 kickoff on the SEC Network. Tom?
Small sidebar here. Wouldn't you have liked to have had Ole Miss's schedule? And look, I don't want to I don't want to denigrate what they've done, because going on the road and winning at Georgia Tech, you don't know what that looks like when it was scheduled and they dominated. They beat Kentucky at home last week. Yes, that was my upset special. I thought Kentucky would win. And doggone, if they hold on to the ball there, maybe they do. But clearly they will win this game and move to 6-0. And I was talking to someone who covers Ole Miss this week, and there's a decent chance those guys start out 8-0. I think Auburn and Texas A&M are coming up for them. I don't know exactly what their schedule is coming up, but the schedule's been kind to Ole Miss, and they've been able to build confidence during this stretch.
Yeah, I was kind of impressed with Ole Miss's defense last week, honestly, against Kentucky. To hold Kentucky to under 20 points, that was a pretty good look for a defense that I didn't exactly know what I was going to be watching when I turned that game on. But they gave Will Levis fits, and I think they even dislocated one of his fingers on, I don't think it was his throwing hand, but they got to him, pressured him, rattled him a little bit. And that Kentucky offense didn't really put up a whole bunch of points. And I always like Ole Miss's run game. Like, they've just got guys that can, they can burn you for 8 to 12 yards on any given snap.
Ole Miss's next three games after Vanderbilt, they host Auburn, go to LSU, go to Texas A&M. Then they have a bye week before their game against Alabama. That's in Oxford. And, you know, they're gifted this Vanderbilt game every year. Vanderbilt is Ole Miss's cross-divisional opponent that they get to play every season. Everybody certainly, I think, would love to have that. You know, Vanderbilt's defense has been so, so bad this year. And so I think that, it's going to be one of those games that's probably not very pretty. One of those games that we're used to seeing in Nashville, where the other team, takes up about half the stadium in terms of fans in the stands. I think Ole Miss wins that one really big. Step out of conference for just a second. That future SEC game, Red River game between OU and Texas, it'll be an 11 o'clock kickoff. It'll be played at the same time as Arkansas and Mississippi State, Tom.
I haven't seen enough of Oklahoma to know what their real issues are, but they clearly have defensive issues. And, I think Texas is probably feeling it, like they played Alabama that close. We can be a really good team. And I think they're going to find a way to win this game.
Yeah, I've got Texas in this game too. We were sitting up in the press box last week, and Arkansas had the Oklahoma TCU game on the big screen several times during pregame warmups. And I just could not believe the number of points that TCU was putting up on a Brent Venables defense. I think, Matt, you made this point too. When you sat down next to me, it looks like they're trying to play Brent Venables style with Lincoln Riley's players, and it's not exactly working out for them right now. So I'll go with Texas.
Yeah, they've still got Lincoln Riley's defensive players. They don't have Lincoln Riley's offense to make up for that. I mean, we saw OU for several years. When they won, they had to win high scoring. They had to win games, 52-40. I mean, just look at the Red River game last year, the shootout that they had in Dallas a year ago. I'll tell you, the thing for Texas is that for Steve Sarkisian, he needs to get over the hump against somebody. And beating OU would be a real nice feather in his cap, even if it is a down OU team. OU has just dominated this series. I mean, it's like watching Lucy and Charlie Brown. They pull the football out. Just feels like every year after Texas gets up to a big lead or something. And I think Texas is going to break through this weekend. OU's defense has got some real issues that I don't think you can fix week to week. They're going to have to do some things in recruiting. You said it was a Brent Venables defense. I don't know that so much of Brent Venables defense when you look at the players that are out there. They've really got to correct some things through recruiting. Back to the SEC, South Carolina goes to Kentucky. This is on SEC Network Saturday night at 6:30 kickoff in Lexington.
I'm just not believing in South Carolina yet. They had a pretty good offensive day against Arkansas, but otherwise, the other SEC games they played, not a ton of traction there for the offense. We saw some of their key guys go down defensively here, and I thought they had some game guys, but now they're down in numbers, and I don't see how South Carolina wins this game.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm not a believer in South Carolina, really, and I think my impression of them after they came to Arkansas maybe took a hit based on what I thought of them going in. I think Kentucky and Arkansas are built similarly. And so I think Kentucky's offensive line may be able to lean on that South Carolina defensive front. And Kentucky's got Chris Rodriguez back, who's pretty talented tailback. So I just think they'll turn around and hand it to him when push comes to shove. And then, whether Will Levis is bothered by that finger injury. You know, just always having a good tailback to turn around and hand the ball off to is always nice to have.
I think Kentucky feels like it probably outplayed Ole Miss last week at Oxford. Just too many turnovers on the other side of the field. And I think that they're going to get some of that frustration out on Saturday night when they play South Carolina. I think Kentucky really hands it to them. You know, you wonder about Shane Beamer. I don't think that South Carolina will make a move after year two. But from what we heard about Beamer during the offseason to what we've seen on the field, that's been one of the bigger disappointments, I think, in the SEC this year. There are three games at 11 a.m. on Saturday. Of course, Arkansas and Mississippi State, one of them. Another one, Missouri and Florida on ESPNU. The Tigers nearly pulled off the upset of the year against Georgia last week at home. Now they go to Florida, which is playing on a short week because they played on Sunday after the hurricane.
Yeah. Feel a little bit bad for Missouri. Had the Auburn game in their grasp. If they hold on to the ball, going into the end zone, and they did not do that. And then heartbreaker for them that they led Georgia for so long and held them without a touchdown for so long. So I don't doubt that they're going to be really spunky. But I think Florida is starting to find its legs a little bit. I think Anthony Richardson playing a little bit better. Them being at home, I'm going to pick them in a close game.
Yeah, after a couple of close calls for Missouri, I'm just kind of wondering how much or like how tightly they're holding the rope right now. And, you know, Florida is not the easiest team to you know, play the next week after you thought you had Georgia on the ropes, or you did have Georgia on the ropes, but you just couldn't quite finish. I think that's just a bad matchup for Missouri this week.
Yeah, I do too. I think Florida wins. I think we're going to look back at the fourth quarter of the Georgia game as the tipping point in Eli Drinkwitz's tenure at Missouri, because I don't think it's going to last very long. I would be surprised if it did, but obviously that's the type of win that can buy you another year, and losing that game I think is going to be, you know, the ultimate game that got away for Drinkwitz in Missouri. I think Florida wins by at least a couple of scores in the swamp. The big game in the SEC this week, Tennessee goes to LSU, and it's not even on CBS. It's going to be an ESPN kickoff at 11 a.m. You know, the Tigers would have loved to have had this game in Death Valley at night. I read reports where the SEC was even lobbying some of the TV networks to get this into one of the afternoon or evening games. It just didn't happen. But still, Tom, this is a big challenge for Tennessee going into what should be a wonderful environment. And I think LSU is playing pretty well since that disappointment they had against Florida State at the beginning of the year.
Agreed. And they look like a salty defensive team. I got to watch a lot of last week's game against Auburn when they had to come from behind in the second half. Our boy Greg Brooks made a great defensive play late in that one. Y'all, flashback to the last time Tennessee was there. I don't remember the year, but Derek Dooley was the coach. And they were flagged on what would have been the last
2010.
Play. 2010. It was what would have been the last play of the game. They were flagged because they had like 13 guys on the field.
Yep.
Well, if you're going to apply the rules, then as soon as the game, quote, ended, T-Bob Hebert threw his helmet on the field. And I believe that would be some kind of unsportsmanlike conduct. But that didn't get called. And then they got the second chance from down close, and they scored it and won. Not that that's, you know, any it mean anything an incentive for Tennessee this time. But I think LSU will slow the Tennessee assault down a little bit, but not enough. And I'm not sure if their offense is feisty, powerful enough to score enough to hang with Tennessee. So I'm thinking a game in the 20s, and I pick Tennessee to win.
That was one of those infamous Les Miles clock management, you know, malfunctions.
Yes, it was.
They snapped it like 20 yards past Jordan Jefferson after they had let I don't know how many yards or how many seconds go off the clock. That was a crazy game. That was the year, if you'll remember, Derek Dooley said the next year at SEC Media Days, I think they had gone 7-6. He said I was 9-6 in post-game handshakes because they had gotten a game against North Carolina in the bowl game that had gone similarly where they thought they had won. They had to come back out on the field and they didn't win. Scotty?
No, I think this is easily the game of the week in the league. And I think I've picked LSU like the last two or three weeks. I like Jaden Daniels a lot. I think he's a really fun player to watch, but so is Hendon Hooker. And if he has a big game on a big stage, you know, I think he could find himself in that Heisman conversation even more so than maybe he already is. I just think he's a pretty special kid. And yeah, that offense is humming. I would agree that I think LSU is probably going to try to play a little bit of ball control just to keep Tennessee's offense on the sideline. But just because Tennessee's offense is on the sideline a lot of the game doesn't mean that they're not going to score points.
I didn't hear you make a pick, Scotty.
No, I like Tennessee a lot in that game.
I like LSU, and I tell you why. Actually, three reasons. Number one, of course, the home field advantage. Number two, I'm always a little bit leery of teams coming off a bye week like Tennessee is doing. And number three, if you look at Tennessee defensively, it's almost as bad as what we've seen from Arkansas. There's some big gaping holes in that Tennessee defense, and I think LSU plays really tight defense like Tom was talking about a minute ago. I think LSU pulls this one off in Death Valley on Saturday morning. And then finally, Arkansas and Mississippi State, 11 a.m. kickoff. It'll be on SEC Network. Razorbacks have won two straight in the series. So many question marks, though, about Arkansas going into this one, Tom.
Yeah, I just think the incentive is really strong for Mississippi State to have a full crowd and kind of get one back on the Razorbacks from the last couple of years. And as I mentioned earlier on this podcast, can Arkansas keep up with the scoring, particularly if KJ Jefferson is not available? I've got the Bulldogs winning, relatively close game, but I'm not throwing it out of the realm of possibility that Arkansas puts forth a really good effort and finds a way to win.
Yeah, I've got Mississippi State too. I think they'll probably win by somewhere around wherever the spread lands. That just seems to kind of be the deal. I think Will Rogers is a really good quarterback. He made like one mistake last year against Arkansas. I think Grant Morgan picked him off. And otherwise, I mean, he was pretty clean, threw for four touchdowns. And I just think the balance that State has at receiver, they've got like five guys with 19 or more catches, and they're the only team in the league with four receivers or four pass catchers with more than 20 receptions for the year. And I think Georgia's the only other team in the league that's got two of those. So they're balanced at the receiver spot, which means every one of Arkansas's guys in the secondary is going to get tested. And I just don't have a whole lot of confidence in Arkansas's secondary right now. And I think Will Rogers he's in his third year under Leach, third year playing there. He's a year older than he was last year, made really good decisions, minus one throw last year. I just think that you know, mentioned earlier, his patience is going to be a key in this game, whether he'll take what's available to him. I think he will, and I would expect that State will probably bust some explosive plays.
Out of all the games that we picked this week, this was the one that I had the hardest time with, and it was the last, you know, pick that I submitted. I want to believe that Arkansas can win because I think that Sam Pittman's coaching staff overall is a better staff than what you see at Mississippi State. That's no knock on Mississippi State. I think coaching has been a huge reason as to why Arkansas has won these games the last 2 years. But you look at the injuries Arkansas has, especially with Jefferson, and then the defense, you know, it just makes it really hard to pick Arkansas when you know that this is going to be a Mississippi State team that's not going to take it easy on them. Like, I thought Alabama might have done a little bit, you know, passing-wise last week. I was shocked that Alabama didn't challenge them more over the top. And, you know, like we said earlier this week, Mississippi State, they're going to throw it over and over and over again. And there's going to be some breaks in that defense. And, you know, wouldn't surprise me to see Arkansas keep it close. If Jefferson plays, I might rethink my pick a little bit. But, you know, as it stands now with so many question marks surrounding him, I think Mississippi State wins this one on Saturday. Don't know what the score will be, but I have a feeling Mississippi State's going to have a lot of points, and it's going to take a lot of points for Arkansas to go down there and win in Starkville. Again, Arkansas and Mississippi State Saturday at 11 a.m. SEC Network. You can go to our website, wholehogsports.com, before, during, and after the game to read all of our coverage from the Razorbacks and the Bulldogs. We hope you join us again next week on the Whole Hog Football Podcast as we look back at Mississippi State and look ahead to the Razorbacks game with BYU. For Tom Murphy and Scotty Bordelon, I'm Matt Jones. We appreciate you joining us, and we'll see you next time on the Whole Hog Football Podcast.
The proceeding has been a production of WholeHogSports.com. Look for our latest podcasts on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at WholeHogSports.com for the latest news and commentary.